champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
And welcome back, everybody, to Belt Kings Radio Presents Champions, baby. And this is episode 16, like Ric Flair. Yep. Woo! This is going to be a tremendous episode. And can I just say, happy birthday, belated, because it was yesterday, as we are recording this today, to the great Dusty Rhodes, man. The man, the reason why I am obsessed with wrestling today is because of Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, HH, man, kept it going, other people going, but Dusty Rhodes, you're responsible for me sitting down, watching TV, and so today, it just makes sense. Your birthday, episode 16, it didn't happen this way on purpose, but we told you, for the first time in the show's history, what the next episode would be about. So we kept our word. And as always, if you didn't know by now, I am Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell it with three X's. Because like today's episode, I am hardcore. And as always, joining me, my kicks are my fix. Nephew Corey from the Wrestling Marks of Excellence, Belt Emperor himself. What's going on, Corey?
What's going on, man?
Listen, there's many emperors in this world. And as I've gotten into this title world that we live in, there's a lot of you guys out there. I am merely a belt king, and I'm proud of that. And you got to have at least five. See, LeBron James himself is still not a belt king because he only got four. Okay? You see what shirt Corey got on, baby? He supports him. There's a chicken. We're just playing with you, LeBron. But listen, congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers. But hey, you got to have five belts to be a belt king in my book, y'all. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five to be a belt king. But Corey, man, how you been doing, my friend?
I'm fantastic, man. Just, enjoying a good off day and just here to talk some wrestling, man.
That's what we do. We talk wrestling title belts. This is the show for wrestling fans to collect wrestling belts because we just like to talk about wrestling belts because we collect them. So we figured, hey, let's talk about it. Let's be about it. And today we are talking about, but I don't know if you all understand by now. You should have saw the pictures down there below already what we're talking about. But for those who are listening, 10 pounds of gold. People, if you don't know what that means, Corey, can you please educate the masses, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much that nickname, at least my definition of it is, you know, pretty much that kayfabe era of wrestling where, you know, that belt was literally 10 pounds of gold. The NWA World Heavyweight Championship, which to me is, I mean, the WWE, how do I want to put
this?
Let me talk about this.
I'm waiting for this.
Yeah, the WWF Championship is probably the most recognizable world championship in wrestling. But probably, and prestigious is a word that you that people throw around, but
it is. As far as the legacy,
the lineage, the prestige of the World Heavyweight Championship in wrestling, you kind of got to give it to the NWA World Championship. I think you have to, just because the NWA is and still is actually what people, at least wrestling fans, at least like, you know, historical like wrestling fans will consider as the, like, the most historical world championship.
Let me have it. It's real to me, damn it, title.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, yeah. Yeah, this is the professional wrestling title, pretty much. You know, you have the WWE Championship, which that's the most, it is. It's the most recognizable, the most popular, the most known. It's that is.
Well, which one? Because we talked about that in other episodes. This is episode 16, see below. Because
I still think
Goldie is the most recognizable title.
Well, I'm talking about in terms of the actual, like, the
if we're looking at the world we live in today, you still think the big W?
No. I'm not talking about the physical championship. I'm talking about being the champion.
Okay, being the champion. Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah. It's the NWA World Championship is still probably the most historical wrestling championship. However, as far as physical belts, it is the big gold. It's probably the most recognizable.
Okay.
Followed by the Winged Eagle, I'd say. But yeah, but as far, because I mean, not too many people.
I think this is right behind it. If not up there with the IC that we've also talked about, I think the importance of this episode today, Corey, is about the importance of this belt, the lineage title.
You know what?
It's real to me, damn right. Title.
Here's the thing, Mike, and people, I'm not being blasphemous about it. I'm not being cynical about it. But the Spinner Championship is right up there as far as recognizability of a physical belt. Look at how long it lasted.
The world we live in today.
Yeah.
You know, it's what it is. It's media. It's what's being seen over this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't argue against that. So I'm there with you on that if you put that in there.
Yeah, and that's what I want people to make sure they understand. That's what I mean by that is that.
But see, that's that title right there. Excuse me, and for that, the spinner belt is that's that title. That's where we're looking at, where HH is more recognizable, say to Rick than Ric Flair, and it's just keeping it real, right? Okay, so in that perspective, this title, those titles are bigger than this belt. So that's where it's real to me. And I like how I said that, so I'm gonna keep saying it, right? Because it's just bam, it's like, you know what it is, because this is that title from Harley Race, Dusty Rhodes, okay. To even future guys like an AJ Styles, like a Jeff Jarrett, okay? To guys who keep it going today. And it's not been a major promotion for what, about 10 years now?
Yeah. Like
Nick Aldis. And I just think that the if you love pro wrestling, if you love to go back and you want to take something back, this is that title and the guys who have held it in the matches was on the line in, it's something we got to talk about. And that's why, we talked about last episode 15 was the Rock's Mama Bull Belt. And we came up with this because he was holding it, and I was like, is it that heavy? It's about 10 pounds. Yeah. And I'm like, boom, next episode, 10 pounds of gold. So,
well, you know what's funny? I was thinking that it was going to be the next episode because it was episode 16, but the 16 World Championship.
It just happened to be that way. It's just telekinesis. Yeah. when you're a belt king, you know these things.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, but let's talk about this belt, okay? Before we continue to go into how great it is and why it's 16, okay? I say this all the time. People say, this guy's just making this stuff up. I'm not, y'all. I'm not when I say this. I didn't want this belt. I see. Shout out to your uncle, Dr. D. Okay. Where everybody want to know where I get it from when I say end of story. I don't know where I got it from him. Okay. Because I thought it was the greatest end of a promo you can say. Okay. And so that's homage to him when I say that. But he has that belt. I remember I watched this belt over the years and your uncle that I mentioned. I'm sorry, did I just see you pull that belt up by the bootstraps?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Don't be doing that to me again. Because I don't know if you see right here in the background, I got laid this week. I am your tribal chief right now today. Okay. They let me wear it at work all day. If you know where I work at, you cannot wear anything that's not your costume. And I got that, and I was like, all day, me and his other co-worker, all day was like, I'm tribal king. It was amazing. But I want this belt once I looked at it. And as I was putting the show together, and I'm looking at this title, and like always, like I'm looking at who had it. My favorite of all time is Shawn Michaels. Okay? We're not talking about, and I like when people have to put a list. We're not talking about, because I don't think there can be the best. It's the best to you. It's your favorite to you. And we can use, we can implement any, formula we want to make the Frankenstein of our list all we want to, but it's your list. And so for me, one of my favorites of all time, and literally in my top five for me, probably three or four, I ain't gonna lie, I go Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Triple H. This is what it is, okay? And then for me, there's Dusty Rhodes. But he's what got it for me. And when I think of this belt, I think of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. I remember 1986. We're just talking about it off air. I thought it was a pay-per-view, but guess what? It wasn't. I watched it somewhere on home video. That's how great this still was to me, okay?
Yep.
And match of the year, okay? Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, he wins this title. And as I'm looking at this episode, I'm like, I gotta have this for Dusty. This to me People want to say it's the Harley Race title. And that's fine. I won't argue that because Harley Race was the first one to really date. Actually, he wasn't the first one they built, but he's the most synonymous with this title. Want to be honest and frank about it. If we have, which we will, we can, I think, because we haven't had one in a while, a Mount Rushmore of this belt, I think Harley Race is there. Okay.
In my opinion.
But absolutely. Dusty Rhodes, to me, is the one when I think of this belt, I think of this championship. So can they find this belt? I know your uncle has this belt. How rare is this TNA because TNA took it over later.
Yeah.
But is this NWA World Heavyweight Championship, Corey?
It's not even in, because the official replicas pretty much is a WWE dominated business as far as the companies that make them now.
Okay.
I think Figures Incorporated may or may not still make certain copies of it. I think the premier belt brand was making them at one point.
And I was right. Harley Race was the first one to have this title. So go ahead. I just want to make sure I was right.
No, you're good. You're good. So I think if I'm not mistaken, you can find them. And it's not even at a relatively bad price either.
Okay. We got to school them every week. What's a bad price?
You're not going to... I could see you finding a good copy of this somewhere around the upper threes, low 400s.
That's what I was hoping you would say. See, I think four is the limit for this title for me.
Here's the thing with that, though. If you find one of the official, that's the thing. One of the official ones, it depends on the, because some of them are the 2mm. Some of them, the premier might be a 4mm. So that one, I think, that's what I want to say. The Figures Incorporated ones are a little bit cheaper as far as the range, somewhere around the 3 to 4 and somewhere around there. If you can find a used one, somebody that's got one in mint condition, may cost you upper fours, maybe 500. The Premier brand, when they were making them, they were making them a little bit better as far as the quality of what
better,
the belt was.
Was it cheaper?
Oh no, that one, the Premier one's
you're
definitely
saying Premier.
Cost you.
When you hear Premier, you think automatic.
That's the name of the brand. So the
But still, the Premier brand and the enemy goes together.
Yeah, no, the brand that yeah, no, nah, theirs are gonna cost you. Yeah, they're gonna run you about at least 500, at least.
Okay.
So I mean,
what is this belt ranked to you? You're out there more than I am. The pulse of champions and title holders, and everybody can be a belt king. You already know that. They're all over the place. Just go look at everybody, right? And what does this belt, you think, rank in that rank amongst collectors, as this is a show for title collectors? And because I am a title collector, and I don't know where it ranks. I just want it.
Here's my thing. Here's what I was going to say earlier before I even get to that.
Okay.
I was with you, not even, you know, dating you as far as your age, but I was a little surprised that you wouldn't want that one as far until now. Yeah, because to me, I feel like this is just me, all you all. This is just me. I feel like in belt collecting, you have to kind of own the belt that kind of was first around when you were growing up and watching wrestling.
Right. That's your connection.
Yeah.
That's your sire line. I'm watching original. I'm sired to the age in which you watch professional wrestling.
Yeah. Whatever age you kind of entered into watching it, that first world title, I feel like as a collector, you should maybe have, if you can get it, that's when you should have that clip.
You know, for me, looking at that title, like I said, looking back and seeing Dusty have it.
It's not the most aesthetically pleasing belt. That's the only thing.
And that's the number one for me. But then when I go back, you move forward, you know, from 73 to 86. I'm getting into wrestling around 83. So at that time, even though I'm Dusty Rhodes-ing it up, he didn't get that belt to 86. You know what I mean? And then it quickly changed to Big Goldie. So when I think of NWA and looking at that comparison and going back and forth with the WWF at that time, that belt spoke more than that. Like you said, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
You know, as
it's very basic.
It is. You know what? I disagree with that.
I mean, it's
Because I guess in a sense you're right. Well, yeah, but then I'm looking at title collecting. I'm looking at what you just obviously just said about your era being.
I won't say plain. That belt is to the point. I think that's bad. It's to the point.
Yes.
Because it has plain demeans on it.
Yeah.
Plain demeans it. I understand it.
Yeah.
Plain demeans it.
Yeah.
If you want to say straight to the point, when you look at it, you don't look at it for the frills or the, it's got this design. Nope. You look at it as, that's the world heavyweight championship. Your side plates have these different countries on them.
Yeah.
You got Canada, Mexico, Australia, and Japan, and the USA flag. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that pretty much covered everywhere you saw that belt at that time, because those weren't just thrown on there as just random countries.
Not at all. They
were in those places at those times. Like, they traveled to
Think that forever and a day, that is the one mistake WWE's ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Is we got what Vince was doing. We understand what he did. He monopolized what he wanted to do. He wanted to make what he did, make it about the company. But what wrestling fans, I just listen all the time to guys of my elk and my age and things like that. Sure. And to me, the tradition of it, even I tell my children, it's something about Flair, Dusty, you name the champion and other promotions. Okay. But we're talking about this title. Like you said, what's on that belt? They went to these countries and they fought against that country's wrestling promotions, top guy. So for someone like Flair, just to mention him, he was always the heel going against every single top baby face. Okay. And other countries. And he lost some of those titles in there too. Cause that's what also made it intriguing where, you know, I heard a comment this week and I'll say that for another time, but I definitely want to get into this title, Core, because it's like you said, I do think if you are of a certain, like you said, time period, this is that belt for you. So for the wrestling fan, and even if not, if you're a historian.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're a historian, I think this is a title you need to have when you look at the guys that have had it. But again, the weight of this title, it's called 10 pounds of gold. It was definitely heavy. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a heavy title. And you're saying Figures Incorporated, Premier.
Mm-hmm.
What about anybody out there now? So if you're looking at it right now, you have to go out there and just search for maybe to get this as a custom, because WWE.com is not selling this title, correct?
They'll never sell it until they own the rights to the NWA.
Which is NWA, as of right now has been a very long fight.
I don't think they'll ever get it unless they, because it's just, there's too much history. Well,
Michael Jackson lost the Beatles and Elvis Presley's catalog. Anything is possible.
I mean, there is, it's so, and you got to remember too, like it's interesting the different places it was at, because you had NWA and TNA, you had NWA by itself. You had the NWA for a second in WWE, because remember during the Attitude Era, Dan Severn was the NWA World Champion.
Yes, he was
in WWE. So the relationship was always teased, but WWE is kind of the one that you don't. I mean, NWA was in ECW in the early
days. And you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up too, because when you're watching a show via YouTube and Facebook and those good things, watching the visual effects of the show, you'll see the people that I choose to put up there. Mm-hmm. And going back, and I remember, I've interviewed Shane Douglas, and anybody who, you know, knows who've been around for as long as I've been around interviewing people, I'm not afraid to ask certain kind of questions. And I said to Shane, like, you know, doing this, like, I hated you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he threw this title in the trash, but I liked his response. And what I know is the wrestling, this is what makes wrestling beautiful. I hated him because what he did to a title that I love. But in actuality, he was boosting an entire company's next phase into what they were trying to, you know, show at that time by, you know, throwing that in the trash. So it wasn't really a bad thing, but it was a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, the double entendre, if you will, so to speak. But Shane Douglas had this title, threw it in the trash. Like you said, this title, the NWA title, has traveled for decades.
Yeah.
For decades, more than any other title in the existence of championship belts. And we're just keeping honest. And when we say that, we're talking about guys like Ron the Truth Killings. You guys know him as R-Truth. If you don't know what we're talking about, for my kids who may be watching, he was the first black NWA world champion.
Yep.
Right? Okay, because yep. Farouk, a.k.a. Ron Simmons, remind me of my father, was the WCW champion. So he was the first, you know, black TNA champion, and he was a proud champion of that. You have guys like, and he's a future Hall of Famer. Nobody says about R-Truth. Ron Killings is a future Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Okay? It's not even a question.
Without question. Okay, to guys like the phenomenal AJ Styles, who will be, you know, Hall of Famer guy. Hall of Famer guys. I mean, talking about like guys like Ric Flair. Let's talk about the guys that nobody does know. Because when I was going over this list, I was shocked at seeing, you know, we're talking about from 73 to 86, not that long. Sure. Jack Briscoe, champion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a big – that's a. Here's the thing. Very big one. So, your Briscoes, your Funks, like those were big ones for that time when you look back at it later on in your life. Mm-hmm. Huh. Those were big time champions. And what's interesting is that as weird as it is when you mention WWE, WWF, all of that, the NWA was the ones that had the title changes more frequently than WWE at that or WWF at that time. WWF at that time, you had champions that were going 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing. And
we're talking about five world title changes in 82 alone.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like their champion, you at least for that time period, if you were going to a show, you had more of a feeling that, oh, maybe the title could change, as opposed to with the way WWF was booking it, they were like, this is the champion. This is the guy that draws the money.
Yeah.
He's keeping the belt for 3, 4 years, you know. And that's no small feat to be selling out Madison Square Garden the way they were. Wow. So to do that, yeah, you need a headliner. So it makes sense that, you know, for certain place or between the two territories, at least in my opinion, why one person, when one company was having the belt, you know, defended but never dropped for a couple years, as opposed to the NWA, who were, you know, more of the southern territory, the traveling two territories, they had to really make sure, like, hey, we got to keep it fresh. So we're going to have, you know, so-and-so get it this time, and then he gets it back. And then they were more in the business of the chase and then finally getting it, as opposed to WWF.
Having that guy roll over.
They had that guy who was, you know, you had your Bruno, you had your Jimmy Graham, Billy Graham. You had your Bob Backlund, who they were these headliners that they sold tickets, and that was, like I said, it was evident of what WWF was trying to do.
Where the next big thing comes from. It's always been about the big thing in the WWE, as opposed to the champion and the storyline, more so in NWA. Now, so I'll ask you this question. I was going to wait, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, you know, find itself back into this conversation about world champions, because, again, we're talking about the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, okay? Right now, I'm watching the Great American Bash, Dusty Rhodes clearing the cage right now with no commentary. Okay.
Look at you, spoiled.
It just threw me off. It just threw me off. That's all. I'm here. I was there for it. I've seen it. Bam, not there for it, like live, but I'm here for it on TV. But I'm looking and I'm thinking about this title and I'm watching, and we're talking about world champion Flair defending it, Dusty defending it, these guys, Tommy Rich was world champion, right? Around the world. Cologne had this title. Chief Wahoo McDaniels had this title. So I'm a fan of the show Busted Open Radio. It's no question. Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was a question that was asked or a comment that was made by one Billy Ray. And he said, and I'm not the biggest fan of, I'm a fan of Billy Ray's work. I'm not a fan of his opinions. Okay. Sure. He said to him, the greatest of all time was Chris Jericho. And again, it's his opinion, he's entitled to it, because he actually has traveled and won titles in different places. And it's easier to just be on top in the WWE than it is to travel around the world in different promotions and win the title at every different promotion.
Yeah.
And I wondered, to me, I thought Yes and nay. It's one of the questions I can say, yeah, I can see that. It's because it's called world champion, right? Yeah. It's called world champion. However, mm-hmm. I beg to differ in that and saying there's only one Stone Cold, one Rock. There, I think when you're a star in WWE, when you're John Cena, you're that guy there, and that many odds are more upon you in the world that you may call world champion, that I think that world does trump you going to lesser. And I hate to not disrespect when I say that to nobody. Please come in the comments below and let us know that I said lesser. I didn't mean it in that manner. Just let's use our big boy pants and say we know who the biggest company is versus the other companies. Yeah. And so I would have to say I disagree with that. I want to take your take on it because we're talking about, to me, like I said, the world title that has traveled over 50 years of being the same title that not has, you know, it changed, but it's been, this title has been around for 50 years.
I see where you're going with that. I would have to pretty much agree. I'll say it like this in a sense. I think what it is, and like I said, we don't mean lesser as in, that's not what we're saying. It's the exposure of the company as opposed to WWE.
But as you mentioned, the spinner, the exposure of it is more today. Movies are going to break records today that they didn't break 50 years ago because of the exposure today and the bigger lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt
you. So, no, you're good. You're good. So the exposure of these other companies as opposed, I mean, to wrestling fans who are like purists, like they're professional wrestling, to them, and which obviously Bully Ray is in the business, like, that opinion is valid.
It's valid.
I see where he says that as far as going to these other territories, winning their world championships, and that's why his opinion of who he thinks is the greatest is very valid. I see it as though the responsibility from a business standpoint of being the WWE world champion, where you have to go, what you have to do, where you have to appear. I think that's the separation and that you have to consider. Like, Chris Jericho probably is the greatest of all time from the wrestling standpoint of going to different territories, going to different companies, winning their championships. Mm-hmm. But as far as the...
Absolutely. I agree with that. Thank you.
There's the sports entertainment of the greatest of all time.
Yep.
And there's the professional wrestling of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. There's a distinct difference. Real argument that Chris Jericho is probably the greatest of professional wrestling.
Chris Jericho's there with that Ric Flair where Hogan is over there where he's just Hogan. And Hogan has won in other promotions.
Yep.
For the record.
And that's the thing.
Okay, you're more recognizable versus most pro wrestler.
And that's the thing you get for your Jerichos, for your Flairs, for your, Dusty Rhodes, AJ Styles, people like that. The other coin, you got your Hogan, Rock, Flair. I mean, Hogan, Rock, Austin, Cena. Okay. That's who you have on the other side.
Yeah.
For Triple H, who he kind of toes that line because Triple H is probably as pure as professional wrestling as you can get.
Yeah, but just happened to be in a sports entertainment-driven business company.
Exactly. And he was
– They do call him the Wizard for those who don't know, by the way. Go ahead.
The Triple H pretty much – he toes that line because for Triple H, he is the consummate professional wrestler. But he is a WWE guy. And you never thought of, at least to me, you never thought of Triple H as the guy you're putting out there for appearances necessarily like you did Hogan, Rock, Cena, Austin. Even Austin to an extent, because as big as Austin was in the time period that he was big, WWE wasn't really doing what they're doing now with their world champions. Where you have them, they were, let me correct that. They were, but it was a different time period. It was just a different time. You didn't have Austin in a suit making appearances, basically. Yeah. Your world champions now, you have them in suits, dressed up. Yeah. They're the world champion. But no, not Austin.
No, not
you
at
got
all.
You got a Stone Cold t-shirt and some jeans. That's what you're getting out of Austin.
And if you got it on his good day, on his real good day, his nice pair of Wranglers and his vest, but no shirt on. And that was the best offer you was going to get, to be honest. Okay. And that was the probably look you wanted to get a picture of, because it even meant more representation of a badass as he was representing WWE was trying to give off at that time. Mm-hmm. Do you have this title? Is this a title where you were putting in your collection?
I will eventually get it. Okay. I know I can get it. That's the thing. That's what I was trying to convey way earlier in the beginning of the show. Okay.
Where does Corey get this title from?
I don't know. The best deal. It'll be the best deal. Whatever the best deal is.
For me, so many things. Mm-hmm. It's probably third on my list. It's probably maybe third or fourth on my list to get next. And that's because of the definition and the craftsmanship and designs of the newer titles. Mm-hmm. They're just so great that, and I know I could probably get them later, and if I'm smart and I wait, I can just wait 4 years from now, maybe it'll be even cheaper, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to getting one of these other titles.
It's a weird market for that belt. Because at one time, it was way up there.
I used to see it all the time on Wrestling Superstore. When I was when I was starting my collection, that was there all the time. Like you said, it was so unaesthetic and pleasing, and I wasn't thinking about, oh my God, how the greats have held this belt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is a title that I look now, and I'm bringing up your uncle again. Okay, mm-hmm. Dr. D and him, you know, getting the signatures on them, everything. It's like,
well, that's the thing. That's another thing that for me. So
this is definitely an episode I should have had him on.
Part of it is that I feel as though that belt for me, the reason why is because I didn't really grow up on that belt. That belt preceded me. As a historian, as a collector, I do want to get it, but for people who grew up on that, if that belt was on your television, I mean, for me, the belts that were on television when I first remember started watching wrestling,
Big Goldie.
It wasn't even, it was Big Goldie and
Wayne Eagle.
The Hope, no, not even.
Oh, you had the 80, okay. I still want that belt. I think that belt's more aesthetically pleasing than 10 pounds of gold. Now, to be honest, I like that title a lot.
Understandable. I don't have that belt.
Same concept.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my favorite was the Wendy one. That's what I remember as a fan, it tying me to wrestling the most. Mm-hmm. But I remember for a brief second Hogan having the Hogan 87. To me, I wasn't thinking about no belts at that time.
No, of course not.
But, I mean, not at that time anyway.
It didn't even stand out to us, to be honest. Like, it's just those other titles, to be honest, and where I think you're going, the other ones stand out.
Yeah. More than the Winged Eagle was the win. That was the world championship.
Yeah.
I remember Hogan having that.
You said I was dated. Your uncle's a little bit more dated than me, so that belt probably represented more with him.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Exactly.
In that time.
Exactly. I mean, even the, for some collectors, even though you have to get it made, the Big Green resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We talked about it before. Episode back, I remember. Don't get mad at me for that, fans. TV title is in a title that people can remember today, to be honest. That belt stopped. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. It was like 89. You know what I mean? So it's a belt. That's a belt I wanted to talk about. I love 16 came about. X16 talking about this belt 10 pounds ago. You know, Ric Flair, rest in peace, Dusty Rhodes, happy birthday to the American dream. I mean that when I say that. I think it was the first time my kid, my son actually saw me cry. No lie. I'll never forget it. He passed away and I was getting ready for a show. Mm-hmm. And my son came in the room as always and I was just got the news that Real had passed, and I couldn't believe a tear. That was the first time for someone I had never met in real life that I shed a tear for. Mm-hmm. Was for when Dusty Rhodes died, because he was, you know, my father, my granddad. You know, Dusty Rhodes was what wrestling was to me. You know what I mean? So watching him, and as he just gets his hand raised right now with Baby Doll, in the ring and North Carolina. Right there, Great American Bash. It's just great.
Can we for a second not even go there, but just to talk about the finality of the finality that steel cage matches represented at that time, as opposed to now. They just kind of, I mean, they're getting back to that now, as far as like the Cell and just regular cage matches really mean the end of a feud, but for a while, it's like you just had them thrown out there.
Yeah.
And back then, the steel cage match was the end. That was it. That was where it
ended. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. No,
that was where the feud was done. There was no continuation. There was no...
I'm not a fan of that crap jumping over the cage either, by the way. I hate that. I hate that rule. I hate that rule. I mean, it's cool for guys like a Rey Mysterio in a cage match, but no, I want to see you get... Because you're saying it's that's what it was for me. You know, you're in the cage. You cannot run. No, you know where to go. One, two, three, you and me. No weapons. The cage is the weapon. And that's... And saying that, I like the Hell in a Cell being red. I'm sorry. It was a different look. I'm sorry.
You know what?
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I love it being red. When I first saw it, I said, that is awesome. Because it just looks, and when you saw it, it looks completely different. And like you're saying, hopefully, right, this can be, they're getting back into what a cage match was supposed to be.
Yeah. And I think the cell, the one they use, the red one.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, this is either the third or fourth iteration of the design of the cell.
Third. I think it's the third one.
The
first one was to me the best female wrestling match of all time, which was Sasha Banks versus the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Charlotte Flair.
She will be. I don't know if you can say it yes, because she already is still understandable. Understandable. I think I have to see the rest of the body of her career, or for her career to be over. I mean, she's pretty much there now, like you said. She is. But for me, I think the finality of a career, I think, is where you start saying, okay.
And I know people will say, well, what Sasha could be it. Well, you know, unfortunately, Charlotte says she hasn't had the wins over her. So unfortunately, her name is Flair.
Yeah, I think it's the booking too. I
mean, of course, everything's the booking.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't think Sasha will ever eclipse Charlotte Flair.
No, I think she will always be number two.
Yeah, as good as she is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In this era, I'm talking about in this era. I think she will
always be number two. Four horsewomen, I don't know.
I'm the biggest Becky fan. At least not what she became.
To me, and this is no respect because they're all. No disrespect.
Yeah.
Becky's fourth to me.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, to me.
Yeah. So who's third? Okay.
Sasha is third. I think.
Oh, Bailey okay. You think Bailey? Okay. Okay. I won't go wrong
Bailey
with that.
Bailey is the one. And it's nothing wrong.
You want some Bailey? I love
Bailey. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's nothing wrong with Becky either.
No.
It's just of the four.
Yeah.
To me, Becky is behind the three of them. Granted, Becky will end up being the most successful probably as far as of the other three.
I still think it'd be Charlotte.
No. I mean, other than Charlotte. That's
okay.
What I mean.
Okay.
Charlotte will be the most successful. Well, perfect. What we just talked, that's so funny. It ties back to what we just talked about. Charlotte will be the most successful wrestling. Becky's going to end up being the most successful of those four sports entertainment. Ooh,
I still disagree, but I like how you broke that down. Are we going already into episode 17? Are we starting to give spoilers? Is this now a spoiler?
Have to be the next bet. Yeah, the way we're talking about it, that I think the WWE World Women's Championship will have to be the next one.
Well, we did. So we're talking about the one now.
Yes, the one now. The one now. I think it has to be.
That's because a great conversation.
There's enough conversation between the two brands. Who's been champion? There's enough to go around that we can talk about that.
Let's talk about that. We don't know. Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, I think that's a spoiler. There might be a spoiler. I don't know. We'll get into it. It might be.
Listen, 10 pounds of gold. If you don't got it, I suggest you should put it somewhere in your collection. I'm a fan of it. You should be a fan of it as well. Corey, as always, my friend, it's been a pleasure, guys. Sorry about last week. I've had a plumber in my house for 13 days. They're still coming today. You see my face?
Yeah, we see.
Any parent out there listening and watching, you have your bathroom? You have your kid's bathroom. I'm using my kid's bathroom. So that's why there was no episode last week. But we shall be back here next week, God willing, another day, another time as Wrestling King. Listen, Bell Kings Radio presents Champions, episode 16, 10 pounds to go. Instagram, y'all. Come follow us on Instagram, on Bell Kings, mm-hmm. Twitter, wherever social media is. So it's free, guys. It's just, it's a little thing. It's like follow button. Just push it. It costs you nothing. Okay? Also available on Facebook. Just pow, hit the like button. You know what I mean? And on any podcast you have, well, I don't care what it is. If whatever you like listening to podcast, you can find the podcast. I know you got YouTube and I know you got Facebook. So share it. All right? This isn't about that average show. No one's here to argue who's right or wrong. This is about titles we all love. You love wrestling, you have to love the titles that the guys wore. And that's what this show is. We collect them and we're talking about them. And that's all this show's about. Nephew Corey, my kicks are my fix. Are you a Laker fan? I got confused. I just had to ask.
No. I get to ask that all the time. I just like I said, first and foremost, I am a LeBron fan. Not a Lakers fan.
Okay.
I like LeBron. So okay. It's like,
you know, there's no way he was not losing. Okay. As he should not have lost in number six. But that's for another show. Guys, listen, I am Mike Knox. That is Nephew Corey from the Wrestling Marks. My kicks are my fix. Guys, we're about to get up out of here. So do me a favor. See you next week, y'all. Peace.